What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night, March 31st, 2026. So that means it's time for a brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook page. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that notification bell, so you know whenever we are going live. And unfortunately, this is our season recap show. We're hoping it was going to be, we're going to get one more week out of it, but not meant to be, as it's definitely an end of an era for Purdue basketball, as they're the winningest Purdue basketball class. Trey Kaufman Wren, Fletcher Lawyer, Braden Smith. So days of being Boilermakers, playing days, all these be Boilermakers, but playing days are over. So full house tonight. I'm Tanner Lee, Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch joining me. Fellas, how we doing?
I've been better.
Doing all right. You sure they can't get a COVID year?
Hey, try to sue the NCAA. You never know.
Honestly, like between Fletch, Braden, with them playing every single game, they've been like, they should really test the limits of the NCAA and see what they can get. True. If anybody shouldn't get it, it's definitely them. But hey,
true.
Right, let's try it.
True.
Might as well. What do you got to lose?
Right.
But. It was on this day 2 years ago that Purdue advanced to the Final Four, beating Tennessee with Zach EDM, 40 points, 16 boards. But this year, both Tennessee and Purdue fell a game short of the Final Four. Second time, at least that I know of, that Purdue has fallen a game short of the Final Four when it's been held in Indianapolis. The year 2000, that was also Indianapolis when they fell a game short. So, beat Texas and a thriller to get there. But it was a fun for a first half against Arizona, 20 minutes away from the Final Four, but just couldn't hold on.
Can I say what's on my mind right now before you go?
Go for it.
Okay. You laughed at me and said that you didn't, when I sent that text and it said, even though we're up 7, it feels like we're down 10. That was completely unsustainable first half in regards to how they were playing. It was. Oscar Clough was playing, and I'm glad Brian's recap covered like how I was thinking in regards to like they were pretty much ball to the wall, pretty much. Clough was playing out of his mind. Best half he played all year, I thought. But like everything. The amount of points in the paint Arizona had in the first half, like, and compared to what we had, and we're not getting shots, Trey being in foul trouble, like, it just completely seemed unsustainable.
I mean, I definitely had my hopes up at halftime. I think everybody did with a 7-point lead, but I knew realistically a 7-point lead gave Purdue a 50-50 shot to win.
Yeah, and where I had faith was we were up 7 and Trey didn't play a whole lot. And so being able to have, you know, your best post player back in there, you know, halftime adjustments, the fact they're able to even get to lead like that, I felt kind of like I did last year against Houston, where it was like, hey, this is going to take a heroic effort on our part, going to take a disappointing effort on Arizona's part. First, it was looking that way. So where like, then I got actually like, really excited, which was my downfall, because then by the end I was really angry.
Yeah, I think about 7 or 8 minute mark left in the second half, it really started hitting me. That's like, all right, this thing's probably over with. I've definitely been more mad after Purdue exits than I was, but this one just had me bummed out knowing.
Yeah,
three of the greatest Purdue players aren't going to wear a Purdue uniform ever again. And it's just like, well, now starting next year, it's a reset in a lot of areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. I'll say once Burris Bradley got going, I mean, I knew it was over. I mean, Kobe, I've watched Arizona play like earlier this year, and they're amazing. They are. To be able to physically dominate people and be in the lower percentile of three-point attempts and what college basketball is and what Tommy Lloyd created is just and to do it with such a young, young nucleus, not like this team. Like, this is a team where you would think, hey, they're going to win points in the paint. They're going to not turn over the ball. It's going to be a lot of cuts around pretty much the key area, top of the key and on the blocks. And they were just doing it repetitively. And you know, AAU basketball ain't that way anymore. AAU basketball is pretty much, I feel like, park play at this point. Yeah, but yes. So what they did was so, what they've done all season is just so impressive. It's yes, it sucks the end of the era. It sucks that we probably didn't get to see the best version of Braden, especially this year, especially like just lighten up the scoreboard. Because he definitely was pass heavy first, and I was hoping that, you know, freed him up. But we did see Gissy Fletcher do. Yep, Assist King shirt brought to you from our proud sponsors, the shop. I look at this, that Arizona team, and I thought to myself, this is definitely a generational team.
It's similar to UConn 2 years ago.
It is.
Yeah.
Cole Pete's going to be a lottery pick. Absolutely. Burry's probably will be a first round pick for sure as well.
Well, that kind of leads me to a discussion. Like, there's a lot of discussion online that you have to have at least one NBA player, if not multiple, to win a national title, because that's what history says. What do you guys think about that, and think about that going forward for the next foreseeable future?
I think one. If you have one, you got to have like first rounder type. I mean, we kind of saw, you know, years ago with Zach, you know, top 10 pick, unconventional top 10 pick nowadays, but surrounded him with a really good core, and Purdue was able to make it to the championship game, but just ran into a team that had what, four draft picks on it?
Four. Yep. So,
which is, not every team has that. So again, this goes back to just like, I mean, sometimes it's just all about luck in the tournament. Like, first of all, it makes the run into one of the best teams to run through the tournament in the last 20 years. But I would definitely, in order to make a run, I definitely have one, if not two, I think. And if you have one, he's got to be pretty damn good.
And you know, I was talking about how frustrating it is now, you know, to a friend of mine that Purdue's 0-10 now against one seeds. You know, Matt Painter's been in the tournament 17 times. 9 times he's ran through a team that's made the Final Four. 6 times they made the championship. 4 times they've cut down the nets. It's like Purdue never gets the bracket to break their way. Well, they did in 21-22 with a top 10 NBA player and another one that would be a future top 10 NBA player, and they just peed down their leg, unfortunately. Yeah. But besides that, Purdue never really gets the bracket to break their way. But they're still, more times than not, a top 4 seed.
Right.
So it's interesting. You know, it just got me thinking a lot. Like, and I'm not saying this just because we lost an Elite Eight game with a team that was preseason number one, but I'm really starting to wonder if we are ever in our lifetimes going to see Purdue win it all, not just make a Final Four, but win the whole thing. And, you know, like, do I accept that? Do I, you know, because we are a hell of a good program. We're consistent. Yeah. We have a lot of fun. We do it the right way. And I'm good with all that. But can I, you know, accept the fact that we might never win a national title? It's starting to maybe cross my mind a little bit more than you used to.
Yeah.
Let me put a pin on that one real quick.
Sure.
I want to go back to what Evan said. Yes, in today's now since NIL, you probably do need at minimum a first round pick, because the last team that really had a semi lottery pick and win the title was Virginia with Hunter.
Right.
I mean, after that, you're looking at first round top 5 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at minimum, multiple lottery picks, because I mean, UConn had first round picks and second round picks.
Kansas in 22. I know they had Braun. I remember where he drafted. I don't remember who else they had on that team that would have gotten. I don't think they had a couple guys. Do you guys remember who's on the Kansas team in 22 who would have been drafted?
I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah. I just remember Braun. That's all I can remember.
Why? Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was going to speak to So they had Braun. They also had Jalen Wilson and Abajaji.
Achbad. Yeah. He was who I was thinking of, yes. But I couldn't remember. He was older. That was the crazy part. I think he wasn't like a freshman phenom. I think he was a senior.
Correct.
You see less and less. Achbaji.
But though you had three first round picks, yeah. I mean, it's kind of similar to what, I mean, Klingman was a top 10 pick with UConn, but that was kind of the similar thing when he went out and they had a
Castle, Spurs.
Yeah.
Is Castle being a better NBA player than he was a college player?
Yeah.
And they had the guy that plays on the Grizzlies with Edie now.
Cam Spencer. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. Adjusting the sphere, yes. Like, that's what you need to win it. To get to the Final Four, no. Like, that's all just how your bracket breaks down.
Right.
And can you take advantage of it?
Right.
So, to go back to what you said, will it happen? I still believe it will. I don't think you still have Painter who knows what he's recruiting.
Right.
He knows he's already made mistakes of going after the true athletes that didn't fit.
Right.
So we're never going to have that again. It'll be the athletes that do fit the program. The problem I see is, which we really haven't seen, I would say this for the last 5 years, is role players that actually develop into actually better players. Because it's been starters, not just – I'm talking more off the bench guys, like what a Jakari would be. Because Brandon Newman did it. Miles Colvin did it. Heidi never did. They went somewhere else.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting if that works just because of just – I mean, now if a guy doesn't get playing time, like, does he just up and leave?
Right.
So it's like, you know, yeah, they might develop, but they might develop somewhere else. Like if they just, you know, now it just goes back to finding the right pieces that, you know, that turn into a Mason Gillis or a Trey Kaufman Wren. Like those are the guys who really like developed. But for every Trey Kaufman Wren, you have quite a few Miles Colvin. You're going to have a lot of Miles Colvins who, you know, the minute, you know, you're not getting the minutes or whatever, he passed by a freshman like he was with CJ later in the year. He's probably bolting for something for greener pastures in his mind. He had a good year. I mean, he had a good year for the course. Yeah.
He did, but I mean, it's, you know, I look at that. That was going to Tanner's thing. Had actually the athleticism and probably the ceiling to be a lottery pick. Could have been if he could stick around. We never know. Will know. But there was two athletes that transferred out that were on the bench. Now, is Jakari a good athlete? Yes. I mean, they're all good athletes because they're D1 athletes. But are they like alpha athletes like what we saw with like this weekend? No. And I think Edie definitely was an alpha athlete. You couldn't stop him. I mean, Braden was an alpha, but he wasn't an alpha athlete because he's 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah.
And I think that's what Jaden was as well. Carson had this quick twitch, therefore definitely had that. That's what I think this is where it's going to happen, is he's going to have to land that. Now, could there be one on the bench right now with West? Time will tell.
Yeah.
But is there a potential there? I mean, I think CJ's probably reached his potential, we're going to see athleticism-wise. I mean, he's not going to get a 48-inch vertical over the summer. If he does, okay, that's something new.
Yeah.
I would – but it will happen just because those players will start coming. I mean, Painter is – you look at the UNC job, depending on who they get, like are you still going to go play for a school? I mean, we see what that happens down south. I mean, they don't have alpha athletes anymore. They don't have anything. I mean, they just throw money at the problem, and so does Kentucky. And that doesn't solve. Yeah, they have
no gelling.
Correct. Yeah. So to be mopey and say like, oh, it sucks. Yeah, it does. But at the end of the day, you have a culture defined by a person that's been there for 22 years, 21 years?
21. 20, or well, next year is 22nd.
Next year's 22nd, yeah.
Oh, okay.
25, because he's starting 2005.
Correct.
So 506, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I'll say this. We all thought Nogel would be an alpha athlete. That didn't pay out. Or you can run the thing that's Aaron's thoughts only. I thought it was going to be.
No, I fight this thought as well. But I also I go back and forth. I go back to kind of with Tanner, I'm not sure if it's ever going to happen. And I feel like the more I see teams I don't like win it, like potentially Illinois, if I see them win it, I'm like, are we never going to win this thing? Because I think what makes it worse is when teams that you don't like, especially in your own conference, which nothing's happened yet. Who knows? I couldn't care less about UConn winning it or, Arizona.
I'm rooting for Arizona. Out of the four remaining, go Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. But then I also think I've had this thought of, man, is this the best we're going to be? Since 2016.
Yeah.
I remember, AJ and Raphael last year, we were a five seed. So not like we were awesome, but it was just we have a big guy who can shoot, who's athletic. We've got, a good defender, blah, blah, blah. We got these guys that are good. And we can't even get out of the first round. Then it was Biggie, we finally have a, national player, your type player. We got blown out in the Sweet 16 by a one seed. Then Carson, the four seniors, everything was perfect, and then Haas's elbow snaps, and it's oh my god, we are really cursed. This chance, similar to what that scenario is kind of similar to what happened with Iowa State this year. First game of the tournament, best odds, one of your best players goes out. Next year Carson, we're like, oh my god, we almost got to the mountaintop. And it took absolute flamethrower to get there. And, we know what happened with Virginia. And it was just oh my god, are we ever going to get there? But then we finally do. It was awesome and amazing. But yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Is it going to happen? But now I just feel every class has just kind of raised that bar, which is what you want in a class, is to leave it better than you found it.
Exactly.
But to Aaron's point too, is we're seeing Painter getting in the mix with some of these athletes that could be that guy if we can land. I'm blanking on his name, but he's going to Duke. He's a top five or a top five prospect. He's a forward. It's those are the guys that could, take us there if we can able to land on which knows what it's going to take to land it, whether it's money or whatnot or just perfect situation. I don't know, but we're seeing more and more getting in the mix with better and better players, as well as kind of finding still those diamonds in the rough. When Luke Oertl, when he committed, he was, I think, barely even ranked, and now he's top 50 on some places. So it's we're getting the guys eventually. It's just a matter of getting them at the right time. And obviously, like I said, it's just a little bit of luck too of, getting an Iowa in your Elite Eight game as the ninth seed, and kind of just taking advantage of what's been thrown at you.
Yeah, and I don't want people to think I'm anti Matt Painter or anything. No, there's nobody else I want to be coaching Purdue and coaching this program. And no. I have full trust in the guy. And what I'm trying to say is I know we're going to be good as long as he's at the helm. I guess my main concern, and none of us know this on this podcast, how much longer does he want to do this for? Mm-hmm. And then after he leaves, I think that's where the step down happens.
Yeah.
And
said he doesn't have any other hobbies. What do you think he's going to do?
I know, but I think it was – I think it was the night real bad storms were coming in and you had to log off early. Evan and I were saying we were guessing he had, if we had a guess between 5 years or 10 years, we were guessing more 5 years left than 10 years.
I'd set the over under at 12 and a half.
Whoa.
I mean, sign me up if he's got 12 and a half.
Sign me up. Yeah. Yeah.
I would realistically 7 to 8 is probably where I'd feel comfortable landing, but I hope I'm wrong.
I think it also depends on what, we talked about. The caveat is, the landscape of college athletics. True. I feel like a lot of that is going to be a big part. Is it still this lawless wasteland that we've been seeing lately, 5 years from now? Or is there some guardrails that are put up in terms of portal, NIL, whatever it may be?
Yeah.
I was listening to another podcast earlier today, and they're talking about UConn and Dan Hurley. So if Dan Hurley coached, because he's like, I think Dan's in his early 50s. I think he's not too far off Painter's age, I think. Like 52. If he coached at UConn for another, yeah. So if he coached at UConn for another 20 years, I was like, I cannot even fathom Dan Hurley for another 20 years. Like, that would be like, because they were talking about like, you know, younger generations versus like millennials, like in our thoughts of Duke on Duke basketball. It's like you can tell you're a millennial if you just snap the stand for Duke basketball, which I thought is brilliant because Gen Z doesn't, because they didn't grow up in a time where Duke like truly dominated. But that you could turn into that if Hurley stays there for 20 more years, which I was like, oh my God, that'd be miserable.
Gen Z also knows that Georgetown sucks.
Yeah. And
Georgetown is not anything what we used to remember Georgetown being.
It's Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But Painter's 55, 12 and a half, that makes him 60, 67, 68. Yep. That, to me, if the guy only watches Cubs baseball and basketball, like, he's staying for a long haul. I mean, unless we have a new AD at that time that wants to run him out.
Well, then that AD is going to get run out of pitchforks.
Yeah.
I would say, like, it's going to be interesting to see what they do because, I mean, you already have Katie Court. What are they going to rename? Like, some bleachers?
I mean, past Katie, in my opinion. I mean, he's got three Elite Eight appearances. Katie had two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the best coach in program history.
Yeah.
Far none.
Matthew Keller, 060 on YouTube. Do you think we get any new assistant coaches this year?
I kind of hope we do. You know, there's been, I mean, for the longest time, there's been talks that, like, Terry Johnson is looking for a head coaching job, which I think he should definitely get one. But I don't know if there's going to be enough out there for him this year. There's been some rumors of, like, does he maybe NORAD at Butler kind of get that program off the ground just with his experience. Mind, we're not going to lose PJ. We're not going to lose. I don't think Lusk is going anywhere. We're not losing Brantley anywhere anytime soon. So I think the only, I mean, and also, so you got two, like Sasha, PJ, or Terry. And out of those three, I think Terry's the first one, would be the first one to take another job somewhere. And you know, there's been talk like, do we bring in Kenny Lowe, whatever. Like, but I think, I don't know. I kind of hope we do just to kind of just get them new blood in there, but
yeah, fresh ideas.
Yeah.
No, I would love Notre Dame can Shoesbury, and he came back. We looked so like that time. I felt like it looked crisper, especially on the offensive end that he ran. I don't know.
I don't think our offensive stats were that great in comparison to what PJ has been running when we had Shrews. I know when we had Shrews, a couple of those years we were bad before he left for the Celtics. And then when he came back, our offense got better once PJ took the helm, if I'm remembering that correctly.
He had,
I can't remember what his last year was.
It's 22. No, 21. 21.
Yeah.
It's 21 because he went to Penn State for 2 years and then spent Notre Dame last year.
Right. I feel like he went to Penn State for 1 year, but it was 2 years. You're right.
So that would be my, if you want one, if he gets canned at Notre Dame, bring him back because he doesn't want to leave the state of Indiana.
Right.
But I don't, other than that, you're right. I don't see anyone else on the staff leaving. I mean, I think they just take a hard look at themselves and kind of look what roster they have coming back for, you know, summer practice and go from there. Mm-hmm. Is this the year that they go international? I think that is it.
That's a good question. Cause I know there's obviously the, you know, pending any roster shakeup, which I hope, honestly, I mean, I've seen some people say that they hope like certain people transfer. I'm not one of those people at all. You know, the thought that I have is, you know, assuming everybody's back, I think the area that you have to look at is the center position. Just because, you know, on how Jacobson develops, I feel like you still need someone who's just got a more
physical presence down there. It's ever going to be Jacobson. So whether that's the portal or whether that's international, I don't know. But it could be the year we find one. I don't know.
I think we need to find someone from Eastern Europe that was off, that played in Rocky.
Yeah.
I would 100% be okay with that, barring any other conflicts in that area. So, no.
Cameron Day asks, is Jacobson going to get shipped overseas? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if Oscar Clough doesn't get another year, I think Daniel Jacobson's probably your starting center.
Barring, I said, a portal guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Barring Riley Burgess, people. I got to give it.
Yeah.
Could be Riley Burgess. We don't know.
No.
There is so many unknowns.
Yeah.
We won't know until November next year. Nope. I mean, this year.
We don't know. I mean, the offense is going to be retooled. And Matt does it every couple of years. He figures out who his best player is, and he retools the offense for that player. So, you know, who's that going to be? Is it going to be Meyer? Is it going to be Cox? Don't know.
Could be West. Could be Aaron Fine.
It's not going to be Aaron Fine. Could be West.
I've got a stat for you guys. I want you to name this player. Played 15 minutes, 0 for 2 from the fields for 0 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover, and 2 fouls. Who is that
this
player?
This entire season?
No, just for a game.
Any game this season?
It was this season.
You cut out there, what?
It was not. I didn't say it was this season.
So it's just a random game that could happen.
Pretty player. It's a pretty player. Yep.
Is it?
He was a really good player. I'll say that.
I'm so confused.
I don't know where we're going with this.
It's because people are going after Jacobson for being good. This was Zach Edey in the North Texas game.
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about a player this year in a game.
No.
I thought you were then just trying to sit here and.
Yeah. No, it's just like, again, it was just going to like the people were like crap on Jason for his freshman year, essentially. And like, again, he could develop very, but like, just like for, you know, crapping on a guy who wasn't great this year, you know, is one thing, but give the guy a chance. My God.
I don't say give a chance. I mean, there's plenty of options on this team. I mean, it's just what it turns into next year. They still have to go if they travel. So let's say Europe or South America, wherever they go, like this, the team's going to gel. It's going to have its own chemistry. There's so many unknowns. We're not in the building. We're not in day-to-day practices. I think there's possibilities. I mean, we will just have to wait and see, unfortunately, because people could come in, people could leave. Maybe Yi becomes great.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, what Cameron says here, when you have athletic Wayne Badd, I think that's one thing that's kind of missing. People want to point to what I just saw throughout the year was, you know, Cannon Catchings would be great on this team. I'm not so sure Cannon Catchings would be on this team this year. Like, if you watched him last year at BYU, like, just think of, like, just knowing how Braden was as a leader and, like, how he held guys accountable. I could see him getting into Cannon's face, like, about being good. Like, we're like messing up. I can see Cannon just be like, I don't want to deal with that and leaving. Like,
not a culture fit. Like,
there's a reason he committed and decommitted like 3 times before finally Painter said, I'm done with it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll just have to see how everything shakes out. Do you guys think we lose anybody? Anybody on the current roster jumping the portal?
I don't. I said that last year though. So. And the reason I don't is just because there's just a lot of minutes that open up. Yeah. Like, I mean, you've got 3 starting spots open up. Granted, I think 2 are already taken or spoken for, I think.
I think 3 are spoken for, in my opinion, but.
I meant two of the three.
Two are
spoken for.
Yeah,
because I think CJ starts. I think Omer. This is the two of the three that are leaving. I guess there is four if we count Clough. That one I kind of put an asterisk by because we don't know what's going to happen with him.
Yeah,
I still think Pinnock goes after a physical big of some sort. Like Omer steps into PG1, and then I think Caden Pierce steps into. I don't know if he's a three or four.
Probably one a of those four,
he could be a tweener. We talk like that, like what Cameron says, athletic wing.
Yeah,
doesn't really truly fit that mold, and if we might be able to go out and go, I don't know.
I know Matt doesn't guarantee things for people, but he's not coming to Purdue over UConn or some other program to sit the bench. You know, he's
Louisville, Duke.
Yeah, he's starting. He's starting. So somewhere
he's starting, and if he can jump like his brother, it don't matter.
He jumped pretty good in the 3-on-3, from what I've seen on the highlights.
I'm going to have a mea culpa called Han Lee Yi. So he's probably going to redshirt, in my opinion, I don't think, especially Riley Burgess coming back. That'd be the only person I think would probably leave would be Burgess, like, depending on what the front court shakes out like.
Yeah, see, he's not one I would think. I would almost think, which I think this is going to happen, I would almost bet Jacobson would leave before Burgess would leave.
I mean, I don't think this guy's going to leave, but if, like, some of the freshmen are as good as advertised, like, from a minute standpoint, it might make sense for him too, but I don't think he will as Jack Benter.
Now
the one guy that I'm, like actually kind of worried about, and it's just nothing, like, this is just from just pure speculation. Like, can't you say, like, other guys get as advertised, whatever, but it's Jacoby.
Right. Only show flashes of what he can do at times, you know.
And it's like, you know, does someone, like, I think he's a new head coach, but, like, Georgia Tech is in his hometown. Do they come, you know, new coach, they try and, you know, kind of like what Jai Lucas did, was went out and got Malik Renew the hometown and jumpstart that program again. Like, do they try that with Jakar? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or Georgia, if they're losing.
He might like being away from home, given his situation.
Yeah. So that's just more of like just a, hey, like, there's like, when you look at the starting lineup next year, like, I could easily see Omer, see Jakar, you know, Caden, and then either DJ or another big.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, like a bench, like, where does he fit in? You know, Antoine West, does he come off the bench? Who knows? But
yeah,
it's a good problem to have. Like, it's a, I mean, it's that's why Painter makes what he makes.
Yep. So going back and putting a bow on this season, we saw Purdue start the year number one preseason ranking. Let go of that pretty early on in December. Saw a whole roller coaster in the Big Ten season, which ultimately led to a 7 seed in the Big Ten tournament, which they got hot, won 4 games in a row, Chicago, then won 3 games in a row in the NCAA tournament, got Elite 8, overall won 30 games in the season. Overall, everything we just talked about, success or not a success?
100% success.
What'd you say?
100% success.
Yeah, I lean that way. You know, it does suck being one game short of the Final Four, especially being in your home state. But like we kind of talked before, like, it's, they've got something to show for it in terms of a Big Ten tournament, which, you know, out of the between regular season tournament and then tournament success, that's definitely third on the totem pole. Right. But it's something. You know, something to hang their hat on. They've won 2 of them, won Big Ten titles as a career. I think so, just especially given, you know, how January and February kind of the fact that they were kind of rally and put together that run and get back to another Elite Eight, which, again, prior to these four, we only saw what happened once, I guess, in our lifetime, but we count 2000, but only one time under Painter. So,
three in our lifetime, standard, actually, but none of us remember 94.
That's true. Yeah. That's the standard. So hopefully that they just, you know, it's hopefully it's just the, now we know kind of where this program
should
be. And it's been nice to kind of see just in the last week or the games is like kind of the media, you know, some media was like, hey, like, you know, Purdue's made the second week in 7 of the last 9 tournaments. Like, this isn't so it's very easy to point to, you know, FDU, St. Peter's, even that was in the Sweet 16, North Texas, those types of things. But it's like, this is a pretty consistent program. It's like the same thing with people like are kind of crapping on Tennessee for not getting it done. It's like they've made 3 straight away. I think I heard someone say like Duke hasn't even done that recently. Like it's a very it's a hard thing to do.
I mean, Duke had made a national title since 2015. They get 3, 4, 5 stars a year.
I think I saw someone on the boards. I said the last time Duke wasn't like didn't have a top 2 or 3 class was like 2015 or something stupid like that. It was something ridiculous. Like, obviously they've had 2 back-to-back years of absolute collapses. Like, I'd much rather be kind of Tennessee. 3
almost. If you like, I know they didn't collapse, but they got beat by an 11 seed NC State conference rival there, which they probably had no business losing to.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather be, you know, waking up Monday morning being Tennessee than I would be Duke just because no one's talking about Tennessee.
Right.
But I think overall success, it's, you know, you had something to show for it. You made a run and you ran to, you know, arguably the best team in the tournament. There's a team that I've watched them more than I have, or outside the Big Ten, I've watched them more than anybody. And they are awesome. I love watching them. They're so fun. Mm-hmm. They're just so good. And they're the team that I'm hoping cuts down the nets over the 2 other Big Ten teams.
Like, I definitely think March helped save this team from maybe the most disappointing season in Purdue basketball history. Because it was teetering towards that pretty quickly. But overall, we know how hard it is to make an Elite Eight. So I think it is a successful season, even though I remember our preseason, I titled it Natty or Bust, just because everybody was buying in the hype. Fans, players, coaches, they weren't shying away from it, which is a good thing. But it does sting to fall one game short of Indianapolis. But given everything and the team they lost to, I think Purdue fans can hang their hat on the season and not look back with bad memories. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing that I guess that is frustrating, though, is like the 5 home losses. You win 3 of those, you might be a 1 seed.
Yeah, that's where, you know, Brian Newer talked about his post-game thoughts and stuff like that. It was like, and I don't know if I agree with it 100%, but also I can see where it comes from. Where he says essentially like this game was lost in February. Some of those home losses, like, you know, if you win a couple of those, you move to a different region. I don't know. But then also, like, I also have a hard time, like, you weren't knocking off Duke, Michigan, or Arizona, unless you win all those 5, you've obviously beaten. And, like, then you might be able to topple them. But at the same time, like, they've lost 1 game, you know, in the Big Ten all year. That's still been tough. So it's like you still would have had to run into one of them. I guess you'd want to run into your Florida or Duke if you had to pick between the two. But also it's like, you know, there's a thought of like if we were against Michigan, we would have had maybe – because we were ahead of Illinois, but we have maybe like – would we have taken maybe their spot or the 2 seed in their region? I don't know.
I didn't want to play Houston in Houston at the time.
Yeah. We were the last 2 seed, so we wouldn't have bumped Houston. But like do we bump Illinois to a different one and we go take their spot or something? I don't know. Or do we take Michigan State's spot in the East? I don't know. Yeah. Or do we bump who's a 3 seed in the Midwest? I don't remember. But it's it's.
I'm going to take it back further because
Virginia was.
Yes.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to take it back further on Brian's comments because I do not agree. If you win those home games, you also probably don't win the Big Ten tournament because you're placed on the top end of that bracket. So there's a bunch of cause and effects in the butterfly effect. Like he was
thinking about. Right. That's true.
Yeah. So they had to go win that Big Ten tournament. Yeah. And they got the perfect draw in regards to.
Oh, yeah.
They only had to play Michigan. They didn't have to play.
Yeah.
Correct. They didn't have to play Michigan State because they got beat. They didn't have to play Wisconsin. They didn't have to play Illinois. They only had to play Michigan.
Even UCLA wasn't fully loaded.
Correct. With Bilodeau being out.
They did play a fully loaded Nebraska team that actually made a nice little run, but
correct. Yeah.
Good matchup for Purdue though.
But what is, I mean, Brian can't really say that and speak about it. I mean, just him speaking. I mean,
it's a conversation piece more than anything.
It is. Yeah. I mean, this team is what it is, obviously. And it's the downside to being like we talked with one of our other good friends, like had Preep been picked like seventh this year, we'd be ecstatic. Like, there wouldn't be this, like, you know, oh, well, it looks like it because the fact that we had that number one ranking, you know, we were the odds on favorite to win the title, you know, until we took that loss to Iowa State. So that's where the disappointment comes in. But I had pre-picked, you know, five or fifth or whatever. Like, things could feel a little bit different than they do right now.
Yeah, we have this season next year. We're all celebrating.
Right, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, it was like kind of like last year where, you know, finished the 10 last year, but we got a 4 seed. It was like, oh, this is actually kind of a disappointment this year. Like,
the 6 seed in the Big Ten tournament last year.
Okay, yeah. Where the tiebreaker was at. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, it was kind of like the way this year. It's like,
yeah.
You know, we got we tied for 4th, got 7 seed.
Yep.
Won the Big Ten tournament. It was still kind of like, oh, the season kind of sucked. the last month of the season. Yeah. And then obviously make a run. We're in an incredible spot because it very easily could be other teams in the conference that can't make the tournament or
spend a crap ton of money.
And make it, you know, your all-time leading score, make it one of the 4 years and you get bounced in the game. I remember I remember those days of like, kind of like, sweating it out, are going to be tournaments. Like, we don't win a tournament in January. Like, at this point, like, as long as we don't collapse, but you know, now it's just a matter of like, you know, like, send like now to that 4 seed. It's like, oh, that's that. I hate the 4 seed, I hate the 5 seed line. Like, that's kind of a disappointment for where the program's at now. So, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, we're very lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say expectations would have been tampered as well as. AJ DeBonsa did end up going to Kansas instead of BYU because Kansas to me would have been preseason number one with Darren Peterson.
Oh, and AJ DeBonsa on that roster. Yeah. And I think Houston still should have been preseason number one just because they brought back a lot and they played for the title the year prior.
They crapped down their leg at home this year.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah. Couldn't shoot worse.
Yeah. So where I'm going with this is we were ranked preseason number two. I don't think this. You had hype, but it wouldn't be hype was.
Yeah. Yeah, because, people, I mean, I couldn't even tell you who was Houston. I couldn't even tell you.
I think it was Houston.
Like, no one really remembers that. They just always remember, like, you know, at least we weren't UNC a couple years ago. Preseason number one missed the tournament. Like,
Kansas has been number one a lot and then tanked off. So.
It's, you know, like I said, it's just that burden they bear, but they didn't shy away from it, which I appreciated. That is the standard you want to set. Like, I remember to go here and, you know, like, oh, yeah, you know, they talk about how winning a championship is their goal. It's like, do you know where we're at? Like, this, like, we haven't made final four years. Like, what are you talking about? But now it's like, okay, do it.
I know we're probably all, you know, I don't mean to sound whiny because I know where our program is and we can be in a lot worse spots. It's just, you know, and like our buddy who's an Illinois fan last night was saying, you keep hitting that door. Finally, it's going to fall over. So,
yep. Eventually the right team or the right night. And that's just the right night. Like, are you hitting?
Oh, basketball's funny. Basketball's a funny sport.
Yeah.
It just.
Yeah. Especially with like how much the 3-pointer is so prevalent. Like,
yeah.
It's not like these guys are trying to miss. sometimes, or like, I mean, maybe the ball, as they've seen all in this tournament, is like the ball's just maybe a little too inflated that night, and it's just not bouncing the right way.
And you know, even though I was saying earlier, I kind of knew 8 to 9 minutes or the 7 to 8 minute mark was probably over. Fletcher had a 3 down 9 with 2 minutes left that rattled out. That goes in. It's a 6-point game. It's still probably unlikely, but 6 points is a lot better than 9 points, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah,
except 100%. They don't miss free throws. Oh, that's so impressive. Yeah, their free throw shooting's nails.
Yeah. I will say, if that team plays Illinois in the championship, God help us. That'll be an interesting game because you're a team that gets to the foul line a ton in Arizona, versus a team that quote unquote doesn't foul a lot
in Illinois. Yeah, that's what they say.
And so, like, that would be, because that'd be something where if Arizona does get to the line in that game, I think they roll because Illinois just wouldn't have the depth to hang to hang with them.
I think the de facto national champions play in the second game Saturday night.
Yep.
Whoever wins Michigan, Arizona, I think is cutting down the nets.
Yep.
I do too. Yeah.
100% agree. Let's put a bow on this. I do want to. I want to throw out this. Okay.
Hold on, because my blind rankings tie into what we've been talking about. So.
Okay. Can I ask the question though, and then we go Brian and rankings.
Sure.
Does Braden get in the bottom of the first round?
No. I think
he gets drafted, but I think it's second round.
Yeah. Okay.
I would be shocked if he's picked.
I hope I'm wrong.
Before 45th.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
I hope just because I hope he gets drafted 41st, so we can make the jersey.
Got to get that jersey; it would sell even more. Yeah.
I know TJ McConnell's a lot bigger, a lot better, but he's got the same similar game as TJ McConnell, so I think he can make it.
I look at it's just Peyton Pritchard. I think if you can get like Peyton Pritchard in the right system too. I mean, if you can get him into a team that will actually like. Use them, not just like, with Etuan and Juwan, like playing for Doc Rivers, who hates playing rookies. that was the worst situation for them.
Yep. Yeah, I wish the Sonics had a pick this year, but got away to come here.
That's Omer next year.
There we go.
But blind rankings, no surprise, has to deal with our big three. And I just picked some moments throughout their 4 years. I will say making the Final Four and championship is not on this list. So I wanted you to rank them. Like, my thought was kind of just as what it meant for the program at the time or moving forward.
Okay.
Starting out, recent win the Big Ten tournament this year.
Was really big for the season and how seasons remember. I don't know how big it was for the program, but go ahead, Aaron.
I'll put it number one because they don't have anything. They're literally 80s role players, in my opinion.
That's fair.
All right. I'll put it at three. Cop out, but
three. Okay.
Yeah.
Number two, winning the Big Ten regular by games their freshman year. Because my thought with this was like, you know, hey, this is a team that we did, you know, we're post Ivy. No one expected much of this team going into it because we're just like, I mean, we're talking that year's like, if we just make the tournament, we'll be
right. Right.
And they win the Big Ten by 3 games.
Yeah. I'm actually going to put this at one because I think it made a statement like, hey, these guys, because even Edie was young on that team.
Yeah.
Or a junior, but
still, it wasn't, we weren't expecting. National player of the
year. Right. It said, hey, these guys are here and they're here to stay, and like Purdue's not going anywhere type of thing. So for the program standpoint, I'll put that at one.
I have a hard time separating this and what Edie became, because this is really when Edie became. You had Gillis as well, and like with Edie, I felt like they were playing their role and they were along for the ride, especially like Fletcher and Braden starting at that point. I'm going to put it three.
Okay. At that point. Same season, just a little earlier in the year, winning the PK80, where they beat West Virginia, Gonzaga, and then Duke to win the PK80.
Yeah, it became ranked number one. We're fairly soon after, pretty quickly, but that got everybody's attention right away. It's like, whoa, this Purdue team. Like, watch out. Yeah. They're better than they were last year type of thing. And put the target on their back kind of early, and they accepted it. But I don't want to put it at two because I've already used the one and three. I'll put it at four.
Four, okay.
Yeah.
Same ranking, four.
Okay.
God, that was fun, though.
That was fun. And then, because that same weekend we beat Indiana to clinch the Big Ten West. And
yeah, that was a hell of a weekend. We didn't know what was coming. We didn't know it was coming after that.
Nope. For both teams out of that football.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Number four. I can follow this one, but I went with their junior year, but beating Alabama, who was number two at the time in Mackey Arena in November.
I'm going to put it at five. It was a big win, another statement win for a team without Edie, but it's like, and I still think it holds true going into next year, even though we lost five of them this year. It's Mackey Arena. Tough place to play. Pretty usually gets amped up and beats teams like that. Didn't happen this year, but that's why it's five.
You know what? I'm going to put this at two. I'm going to say why. This was them showing it wasn't Edie fully. This is them showing that they were something to be reckoned with. And this is when we started saying, oh, these aren't just role players. And around Zach Edey, that Painter and Bill, these guys collectively, because they had to actually play collectively at times, two out of three for us to win. It showed that they were definitely something. I know TKR was highly ranked, through recruiting. Fletcher, man. I mean, all I can remember was Foster's brother, and I love how the telecast even called him Foster.
Still does it. Yeah, still does it 4 years later. It was also during COVID for him and Braden too, so it was tough.
Good thing.
Yeah, yep. No kidding.
But it was definitely a statement, and I would say a statement to not only themselves but the fan base. It just wasn't Edie.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And then last, I put the game, but more so just like what it meant. But TKR's tipping versus Texas to send Purdue to their second Elite Eight in 4 years.
Yeah, I'm good with that going number two.
It's five. That was pure luck.
I didn't like our chances going to overtime without Oscar.
I didn't either. Yeah, if I was making this list, I would say PK80 is my one. Okay. Just because of just that, like, it was early in the year, and it was like, hey, like, we may have lost a lot of pick, but this team is pretty damn good still. And then my number two was Alabama, just because that same thing you said, and she was like, and for me personally, too, I think most more than anything, was just like, okay, like, this wasn't, like you said, just it wasn't just easy. Like, these guys can carry their way. And obviously, I was the Alabama that went to the Final Four the year before either, but it's still a lot of those same guys.
They still had Sears.
In fact, they still had Sears. They still had Nathan Nelson. They added Cliff Amore. Mm-hmm. That was being at the game, and you know, CJ Cox had his little one too in that game. But it was just, I was like, okay, we're gonna be okay, like post ED. But yeah. There's a lot to throw on there. I was thinking like the Michigan game from their junior year, like at Mackey, where they just absolutely dog walked them. There's a few like the Big Ten tournament their freshman year, and
I'm a little disappointed you didn't say last year's Ole Miss game.
Nah,
he likes to hang his hat on that one because he did.
I was the only one probably.
I thought he was nuts in the text. I'm like, he's like, we gotta win this. This is important. I'm like, it's November. But at the end, it was a pretty important game come March. So he was right.
I was probably the only one in that boat. Brian, I know, wasn't in that boat watching that post game.
Yeah, Miles Colvin was a dog that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
But good list. Good list. A lot of good memories with this class. That's why I hate seeing go.
It just feels. Yeah, it just sucks. Yeah,
it's so like, weird. I mean,
yeah, I wish I could go back and watch like during the game because like I was just so mad that the game transpired the way it did, and so I was like kind of like just. My feels at the time, and like, you know, I kind of wasn't really paying attention to see Brady's last assist was to Fletcher for a three. Yeah, it was just cool. So fitting. But yeah, it's just like, this was the first year I've really been like truly, I've been more mad than upset. Cause usually when the year ends, no matter what, I just kind of just get this more just upset. Like last time we're watching this team, you know, over more importantly, just basketball in general, which is my favorite thing. Just like, so close, and you know, we lost the lead. And granted, Arizona is incredible, a team that I truly enjoy watching, but just that it was that the seniors didn't have a chance to go out the way we wanted them to.
Yeah, and it sucks. It's salt in the wound that two Big Ten teams are in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. And really, more one than the other.
Yeah,
this one I kind of was going to rule, and I just don't really care about them. Like in terms of Michigan, like it's whatever. I don't like them, but like them being good doesn't really affect me more than being good.
Yeah,
but
they've had a lot more down years since their Final Four than Purdue has.
They have, yeah.
So
it is crazy though, like especially since post COVID, how similar Illinois and Purdue have been. Like, yeah. Like in Purdue got a more Big Ten title. I think we've got the same amount of Big Ten tournament titles.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they've now we both have a Final Four. Whether or not they make it to the championship game is it's kind of you can tip our cap. But yeah, it's definitely the class of the Big Ten has proven in Illinois recently in the last 5 years, which I easily. And then Michigan State's right there, and obviously Michigan is coming up hot.
And Wisconsin's an afterthought because they just I don't know.
What's been your thoughts on the tournament as a whole?
It's had its fun moments, but it's pretty chalky. I think that's going to be the tournament. You know, I know. I mean, we didn't get 3-1, so you looked like we were going to get 3-1 seeds in a three. But like I was discussing yesterday on my other podcast, like a 3, 2, or 1 making Final Four, it's pretty chalky.
Yeah, really. I mean, outside of Purdue losing and some other teams winning, but I mean, yeah, it does suck. Like when we're not seeing the. Mm-hmm. I don't count Texas as a Cinderella, even though they were an 11 seed, because still they have like a $20 million roster or close to it. Like now, if that 11 seed was a high point or somebody, that's one thing. Sure. But when it's if you're a Power Four team, I'm not counting that as a
true. I don't count Iowa as a Cinderella.
No, it's story. It's cool. Like I mean, it's very people have been comparing it to like to a Signetti type run, like which could be like first year.
Yeah.
Then making the tournament, then making the playoff versus Iowa making Elite Eight. Sure. Iowa's not winning a title next year. Sorry.
He might grab some better recruits than he would have, but
yeah. But yeah, we're not seeing the because like obviously it's cool to see the Cinderellas make the Sweet 16 and all that, but also like I also want to see really good basketball. And
yeah.
I want to see a St. Peter's in the Elite Eight, thanks Purdue, getting blown out by North Carolina. Like that just I mean, obviously we still saw, Tennessee get blown out by 30 against Michigan, but like but also we saw, Purdue was pretty good. I mean, Iowa, Illinois was a good game for the most part, but then obviously it was capped off with UConn and Duke, 1 and 2 seed as probably one of the better games we've seen in the last since the Jenkins championship shot.
Yeah.
My thoughts are, I think it is chalky. The games, especially the second weekend, are a lot more exciting, I think, mm-hmm. though, mm-hmm. now. I think your first weekend games, though, are kind of
I agree,
because you don't have this like the upsets there because it's so chalky that you're getting
you don't have the guy who's been at Lehigh for 4 years playing Duke, like because now that guy is playing for Duke.
That's
100%, or you have those coaches moving, I don't want that to expand is where I'm kind of going with this.
Oh, 100%. No.
Mitch Milton on Facebook. I joined late, and you may have mentioned it already. We have not, Mitch. But will Painter go after the 7'9 giant? Florida's got a 7'9 kid that entered the portal. Yeah, if you've watched – great height, but there's a reason he doesn't play much because he can't move.
He is the definition of he's just tall. literally.
He's got stone for feet. If they're going to go after a big guy like that, go after the kid from Charlotte.
Yeah.
He can move.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, Juan's a 7-footer, so.
Yeah. He can move.
Yeah. Yeah, so I doubt it, Mitch, but it would be funny, and it is funny, all the memes about Painter.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Going after him, so it's good.
Because we haven't obviously had, like, the true, like, giant. I mean, 80 was a giant. Jacobson's 7'3", but that gets depleted because he's
– If he got thick a little bit, but
– Yeah, but it is fun to see the – who was it? It was – Frank Kaminsky shared it might be the kid from Charlotte. Yeah, where he's said, "Go on, Matt Painter, see this film." Yeah.
That kid can move. That kid's pretty good.
He can move. Yeah.
Watch out for a Big Ten team to go after him. Try to play a little chess.
Diebler.
That's what maybe.
Gosh, I wish he'd go. Anyhow, let's put a bow on this for good and move to.
Oh, no.
Spring football. And that's the trivia question tonight, actually.
Oh, no.
I'm intrigued. How the hell are you going to come up with this trivia question about spring football?
We go through the archives here. That's what I'll say.
I'm still very intrigued by this.
I had two.
And who's won more spring games, the black team or the gold team?
We can't do that because Brom changed it in 22.
Yes, yes. Yes,
and then what's been the attendance average? Couldn't get that because we went to Mollenkopf and practiced there in 23. We were deep.
Hey, we had to do that.
We were deep.
We had to do that my year of spring ball because it was storming outside, so they had to move it inside. And so, like my parents and stuff, they were allowed to come in. Like families were, man, it was boring for them.
But the question
I went to, I've been to one spring game. I can't remember what year it was.
You and I went, Webby.
You see, that's what I can't remember if it was you, like a friend. Yeah.
Horvath was young because he kind of at spring we're like, who is this kid?
He was like, was it 2019?
It was cold. Maybe. It was windy. That's all I remember.
Because he was a freshman, 2019, right? He was a walk on freshman.
Yeah, it might have been 19. Yeah. So you're 18 or 19, I feel like. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been to two. I went to my freshman year, I went to it would have been 2011. Carson Wiggs hit the 60 some yarder, and they brought out Cabbage Patch, Purdue Pete that got booed off the field, never seen again.
Right.
Great use of money. That was embarrassing. Anyways, go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry.
All right. We have one question I can't really verify, but the other one I can verify. So we did do research on that. So we'll go with the verified first, and I'll give you the second one. What is it actually called now? It isn't called the spring game anymore.
Spring showcase.
That was my guess, spring showcase.
Barry wanted to do his own branding on this, which I thought was really crazy.
It's a lot better than a furnace.
Well, the second question goes to that. We went deep in the archives. Deep. And I'm talking Austin Appleby's 59-yard throw, DJ Knox's rush stats, Hazel's post-game press conference. But Hazel, this is the one I was having trouble going on on Gold and Black trying to find this. What did Hazel actually change in regards to the game setup in 2013?
I should notice I quit 2 weeks before the game.
Yes, that's why I'm asking it. The 2013 spring game, what did he change in the format?
I literally stopped being a manager 2 weeks before the game during spring ball, so I cannot remember this. I should. No tackling.
Okay.
That's a guess. I don't remember that. I'm guessing.
Oh man, that's a good one. I was thinking like what would Lynch pick? That's just something stupid.
I should know that. I don't remember.
I'm gonna say something stupid like quarterback jersey color. Something like off the wall niche.
No, because he was very disciplined. Remember there was no hats in the building?
No, I don't remember that. I try to forget a lot of 2013 to 2016.
I wore a hat all the time. That must have been for players.
So what he did, and it Tanner, I will give you a half point on this one for being right. He did adjust the scoring for defense that wasn't just turnover based, but how they played in tackling and stopping on first, like yards, pretty much negative plays that they would create.
Okay.
So he wanted to incorporate a more aggressive mindset on defense.
That transferred over well.
Nothing transferred over well.
You should Cincinnati week one, baby. Bloodbath.
That game was so hot. I was there. That was a miserable game. Thought I like was like, well, that didn't go very well. We'll still be
I right. got an off the wall trivia question for you about that game. Who got Purdue's interception? The game was still in reach. It was early on. A defensive lineman. I'll give you that. It was a tip ball. Oh, defensive lineman.
This was John Robinson.
Was it Jalen?
No.
No.
I should go fact check myself, but I'm pretty darn sure who it was.
Was Ryan Russell still there? Neil?
He was still there, no. But it was not.
He wouldn't have been there. First thought was Neil, but he wouldn't have been there.
This guy was a starter, but he was nothing special.
I couldn't name you a single starter on defense right now.
Was it DT?
I think he was a DT, and I think he wore number 90. I think he was 90. I could
was
be
it
off
Watson?
On that. No, it wasn't Earl Watson. He was 92. God, that's a 4-star I forgot about. Good poll. I believe it was Jelani Phillips.
Oh my god!
I believe. Yeah. I just remember a tip ball. It was like 7-0 or 7-7 at the time, and yeah, not much after that.
I'm gonna see if I can find it.
I could be wrong, and I could look like a jackass, but I'm pretty darn sure.
Well, in the archives, I found a lot of stuff about spring ball, and. What I want to say about this and why I asked those previous questions.
No, you're wrong. But it was defensive tackle. It was Ryan Isaac.
Oh, it's number 61. Whoa. Ryan Isaac. He worked for John Perdue Club for a little bit. Damn it,
Tanner. We got two interceptions that game. Can you name who the other one was?
What position?
This guy, say defensive back. Played in the NFL.
Anthony Brown?
Brown, yeah, Brown.
Nope. Frankie Williams.
Frankie played in the NFL?
Well, he's his picture is the NFL. He's got an NFL background on his picture on the ESPN.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
He probably was a drafted free agent.
Hmm. Yeah.
Probably in the league. Join the players.
He was in CFL for a little bit, I believe.
BJ Kanoff. Wow, that's a name I haven't heard in
forever. He had a good game against Notre Dame that year. That was about it. He couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, he had some speed.
He did. He was cool.
Florida. Where I'm trying to go with this trivia question is please damper your expectations, folks. You can be
nobody's honest. Got expectations. That's the beauty of it. My dad was talking to me on the phone today. Goes, it's kind of sad that I'm looking forward to football season because I'm not going to get hurt because I don't have expectations. But then he goes,
if we win, you say first.
Then he goes, I think we could win 4 to 5 games. I said, I think
if
so
we
too.
Win, 4 games, that is back-to-back years. We have doubled our goal from number 4, and who can say that?
I'm not saying we're going bowling or anything, but I think 4 or 5 wins is attainable. I'm not like you, Lynch, saying we're going to win 1 game again and not be a P4 team. This is not the same team as last year.
It's only got 30 new guys.
30 guys, still a good chunk, especially when there's a whole new wide receivers, all new running backs. You do have the same quarterback. A lot goes on the quarterback.
All I'm saying, Ryan Brown's win the Heisman.
If that happens, then good things are in store.
You can dog walk me every night, every week we get on this podcast about that. I wouldn't care. It's not happening.
He brought back the worst.
What's
not happening? Ryan Brown winning the Heisman or winning games?
Both.
Thank God. Dude, this is the last episode for the season. We need a break.
You brought back the worst defensive coordinator statistically in Purdue history.
It wasn't his defense. It was not his defense. It was not a popular choice. I get why everybody's mad. Trust me.
Oh. But I was very mad. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what are we doing? But
he can't fucking. I'm before I forget that. He had NFL talent. The guy couldn't be a
first. We finally hit explicit. No, I'm leaving that in. We finally got an E. Took 6 years. It took the rehiring of Kevin Kane. Wasn't the FBE law, which was not fun then, but
oh my god. This team's if we get on September 2-2, I'd be shocked. I'm not gonna lie.
3-1, my friend.
Book it, you're gonna say that in August. And after potential injuries happen and things like that. We're gonna be lucky to get ISU, out of there.
We're three. Gonna get Wake Forest and we're gonna get UCLA. No. Notre Dame, no.
No. No, no, no.
0-0 till we're not. Everybody's 0-0 till they're not.
No. Mm-hmm. No, it's not happening. We're going to put a pin on it. And if you want to go out to the spring game, enjoy. It looks like it'll be decent weather in 2 weeks. Fun time. Get back out to Ross Aid. Give you something to do if you're not going to watch the Masters. Overall, go support them. They need support. That's for sure.
Hey, our fans, hats off to our fans the last three seasons. They've showed up. Hopefully they do it one more year.
And if not, then it's time to start being concerned.
Yeah, Barry and Steph are in on some decent recruits. Now, can they get them? We'll see. But
Barry is not the issue. What you sent this morning is showing the issue.
Well, that's the problem of the board. That's the board's problem to figure out.
That is definitely an issue when a MAC team is putting that much money out there. So,
yeah,
it is. Enjoy the spring showcase, spring game.
Just get through it healthy. Don't have any injuries that's going to impact the season. I want to see healthy tight end room, wide receiver room, and running back room, for the love of God.
No, George, go out there and break spring records. I want to see it at this point.
I thought you were going to say, no, George, go out and break your leg. I was going to say, my God, Lynch.
Not that. I still want to cheer about something.
Yes, yes.
Maybe Kevin Kane is not my, I'll be honest, not my cheering point.
That's all right.
I will say this. If Purdue Athletics is listening to this far end of the podcast, if someone from there, please, please, marketing, get on the phone and let's do a check for the Washington game with Ryan Walter pregame. That will be so cool.
Sure, they'll get right on that.
Handshake with Bobinski, handing over the check. That'd be wonderful.
He might punch Bobinski, and that's what you want. So,
hey, I didn't say that. You did.
I'm sorry, Mike, if you're listening. I do not. Once again, we will run the banner here.
That wasn't my thoughts. That was Tanner's own thoughts.
We don't know if it's your thoughts. It didn't come out of your mouth.
Didn't come out of my mouth. It wasn't my thoughts. With that, we're going to pay some bills right now.
Let's do that. That's a good thought. That's a good idea.
All right. So the Boiler Breakdown, while Tanner pulls this up, the Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mush. Serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mush is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is home, well known as the home of the original cheese stick. Whenever one of us, the Boiler Breakdown crew, is in town, maybe during the spring football game, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, and try out the latest pizza of the month, which you can only get this for a few more hours today. Yes. Rob's Crispy Bourbon Chicken. It is a pizza topped with crispy chicken, tossed in bourbon sauce with onion, celery, mozzarella cheese, and finished with the toasted sesame seeds on top. So if you want this pizza, you better hurry up and order. And if you want to order quickly, you better order online. Therefore, use our promo code BREAK526 for $5 off any order over $20. So you can get the pizza of the month the next few hours, get yourself some cheese sticks, maybe get yourself a grinder, have a late night munchie snack. You name it, Mad Mush can do that. Mad Mush, feed your head. Also, check out their social. They're still running things, it looks like.
Yeah, they have a trivia night coming up on the 7th. It's a sitcoms trivia night. And then on the 14th, they have a UFC trivia night for all you MMA fans out there. So there you go. So, yeah, usually they do trivia on Tuesdays. So go check them out. We thank them once again for being a proud sponsor of the podcast. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll have them on board next year for the 26-27 football and men's basketball season. And we got one more sponsor to give a shout out.
That is the shop. Tanner and I are both rocking some shop gear. Recently bought. Tanner's got the all-time assist king shirt, which I
so comfortable.
Yeah, I've got the Mackey Arena t-shirt. Unfortunately, won't be able to pay a visit there until November, more than likely. But yeah, the shop bringing home apparel to the fans since 2011. Started out in their garage, and they've got three retail locations across the Indy. One in Broad Ripple, one in Carmel, one in downtown Indy. If you're in town, stop on by. I mean, if you're in town for the Final Four, stop on by. They've got a wide array of apparel for all things state of Indiana in terms of schools, you know, parks. I mean, Indy 500 right around the corner now. They got some awesome shirts for the Indy 500.
I think Thursday they're doing a throwback baseball day with some throwback shirts, okay. Baseball shirts of a bunch
that'd
of
be cool.
Past Indiana themed teams.
Yeah, that's awesome. So. But if you can't get it indoor, make sure you shop online at theshopindy.com and use promo code breakdown and you'll get free shipping. They're always giving out deals, whether it's 15-25% off certain things, but if you use promo code breakdown, you'll get free shipping on your entire order.
Yep. Save me a nice little amount of money on this shirt. Mm. So I didn't have anything from this class, so I had to get
some. It ships from Indianapolis too, which is cool.
Yeah, it was quick. It was quick.
Yeah.
Yep. I was going to wear it. I had it in time to wear it for, I got a Friday, so I had a time to wear it okay. for Saturday, but I had a rock when I was normally rocking this whole run, and fortunately it ran out. It's like, I got to wear it tonight. So.
Yeah.
Yep. But thank you to everybody who's viewed and listened to our podcast this year. It feels like we say it every year, and we're blessed to say this. This has been our best year as far as numbers and growth. Shout out to you, Webby, for handling the Twitter or the X, if you want to call it, more times than not. You've done a fantastic job. You have fun with it. You do a good job. Thank you, Aaron, for stepping up and being a full-time member of the pod this year. We've had a lot of fun. So looking forward to doing it again next year, but my blood pressure needs a break for a couple months.
Yeah, I agree.
But any final thoughts from you guys before we wrap it up? I kind of get mine.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. It came to an end. Obviously, looking forward to following these guys in their next steps. Hopefully that's long years of professional basketball, whether that's here or overseas. And hopefully maybe a few of them come on step at some point. Yeah, it's just been sucks that it ends, but I mean, some of my best, you know, my favorite memories of my life in terms of like sports came from this group. So it's hard not to be just super appreciative.
Yeah, can't say it better. It's not a disappointment to me. I had the expectation tapered from the beginning. So I'm just glad they have something to show forth, and it wasn't like the 2022 class. There's nothing to show forth. So there's nothing. They'll always be remembered. They'll always be welcome back to Purdue. So
they stayed in a time where staying wasn't the popular decision. I mean, they've even said, you know, they could have made a lot more money somewhere else. And the fact that they chose to stay, I mean, it's really easy for people like us to be like, well, why would you leave? You know, this is, you know, because we love Purdue so much, and you know, we spent four and a half years or a couple of years at Purdue, and you know, but when you're getting tempted with lots of zeros, it's I don't blame them one iota for wanting to leave. But to be able to call them, you know, fellow alumni and just makers, it truly is a special thing, and hopefully that they're repaid down the line for their loyalty, and they should be.
They will be repaid.
Yep. Yep. They'll be in the legend if they want to be in the legends NIL section, and they left Purdue program and Purdue's university and everything on national stage way better than they found it. So
yep,
they will be happy 30 years from now coming back and understanding what they did.
Yep.
And I know it probably doesn't, because they're going to have the connections, and I understand their degree is probably not going to be utilized like what we utilize our degrees for, but I can't take that away from you. So they, and it's something that you went out and earned.
Yep. Well said. Well said. Well, everybody enjoy the spring and the summer. Who knows? Maybe we'll pop back for a random podcast sometime. But until then, until August, so I'll boiler up, hammer down, and get ready to beat the Sycamores.